Going to be in Matthew 5. You want to go to Matthew 5? Oh, before we do that, we got the PowerPoint. Let's do that first. Because, you know, first of all, a couple of different random thoughts here. But first of all, now Father's Day was, what, a couple weeks ago, right? But what do you get the guy that's got everything for Father's Day? I'll tell you. Look, you get him a pair of Donald Trump socks with a special comb. See that comb? Also, you get him a Donald Trump mug. What does that say? Nobody is better at fatherhood than you. All the other, how does it say?
All the other dads are a total disaster. Everyone agrees.
Believe it. There you go. See, so I can't, yeah. Okay, what else? Next. And, of course, Wednesday's Independence Day. Next. So thank you, Lord, for letting us live in America, right? And there's a copy or picture of the Declaration there. I think it's the third sentence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I love that. Next. Now, Galatians 3:28. This is going to be relevant today as we get into the message, but, you know, Paul wrote, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This guy, Anthony Kennedy, who's he? He's a justice from the Supreme Court, right? That's stepping down. And of course, the news, right? But I kind of like that headline in a sense. There are people that are saying, well, with him gone now, Roe v. Wade is doomed. And forgive me, I hope it is, to be honest with you. Next. And I go back to what they wrote in the Declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their Creator, God, with certain unalienable rights, among these being life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And Lord, may we live to see an America where every life is valued, from the unborn to the oldest, right? Isn't that what God wants? Okay, now the radio station's at full power now, Dove FM, next. And please keep our station in your prayers, that God will use it mightily for his glory, to touch many lives with his truth, and to bring many souls into his kingdom, next. Please listen frequently over the next few weeks and let us know how the signal is in your area. And also let us know of any changes to the signal strength and quality, okay? Next. There's a picture. There's actually a map on the back wall, too, when you go back there. It's an updated one. But basically red and white is really good. So, and where it's kind of the white there, the center is like a little circle around it. That's, you know, the antenna's at UB, across from UB. And so it's really, really, that's where it's emanating from. But all that red there is and white is good. And even the green can be good depending on what's competing with it. Next. But if you've been listening with radio signals, and I'm learning this myself, okay, tropospheric ducting. Anybody ever hear that before? I never did. I heard of duct tape, but I never heard of tropospheric ducting. But what happens is it's relatively common during summer and autumn months, and as a result of the change, again, I'm just reading what it says, refractive index of the atmosphere at the boundary between air masses of different temperatures and humidities. Next. So ducting can occur on a very large scale when a large mass of cold air is overrun by warm air. That's called temperature inversion. And that temperature inversions occur most frequently along coastal areas bordering a large body of water. Now, we're not a coastal area, but we got Lake Erie right to our west, right? And so the result of natural onshore movement of cool, humid air shortly after sunset, when the ground cools more quickly than the upper air layers, blah, 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 blah. It can happen in the morning and the evening. Next. Higher frequencies above 90 megahertz are generally more favorably propagated, and that just means there's more likely. We're 92.1. So, you know, in other words, more likely for that to occur at times. A relatively flat land path between the transmitter and receiver is ideal for tropospheric ducting. In other words, it's more likely to occur. It's not ideal. We don't want it to happen, but it's more likely to occur. And so if you look at where the radio station is emanating from UB there, it's flat. I mean, the hills start further south. So in other words, it's more likely to occur in flat terrain, okay? And so right now, we're in the process of observing in order to understand what effect this tropospheric ducting and temperature inversions will have on our signal through varying weather patterns. It will take some time and observation for us to understand how changing weather fronts will affect our signal, how often will the signal be affected. Some areas closer to the transmission site will probably never be affected, Some others will be more prone to these effects. Was it yesterday or day before? It was really bad the day before. What day was it, Friday? I don't know if anybody noticed or not, but it was bad. It was terrible. I've never heard it so bad. Christy and I were going to go to the beach there to watch the sunset, right? And we end up taking a ride around to see what was going on with the signal. And it was really bad. When we got closer to UB, it was really awesome. It was really good. And as we drove around there, it was really good. And so we're learning that, you know, this weather change that took place, right? Remember all the news talking about how it's going to get really hot and that weather change. I think it's got to do with these weather changes at times coming in, right? And so some areas closer to the transmission site will never be affected, but others further out will be. And I actually called Pastor Gary, and it was great at his place in Cheektowaga. I called Sharon, too, in Cheektowaga. They're closer, and for them, they're not seeing this stuff. We're out in Alden, Marilla, which is kind of outside what they expected us to be getting. And even here in Alma, when you look at that map again, you can look at the colors. But because of the area we're in and because of the hills and all that, we're going to learn as we go as far as what it means. So it's not necessarily, I mean, you'd love it to reach from New York to Los Angeles. That's what you'd love it to do. But reality, all these stations have their spans. And so we're learning, going to learn about our station and exactly what it means for all the outlying areas. Keep going, please. So, I mean, God's given us an incredible opportunity to touch well over 500,000 people in our area. And we really have a very good signal, but have you realized it's not as strong as WDCX or WBEN? I mean, and even BEN, anybody driving in from the east, if you get right on Bowen here, right near Bowen and where the school is, they've got a weak spot there. So it happens for every station, but the stronger signal, the less you have to worry about it, because what happens is it might invert other signals coming in. And our signal cannot legally go into Canada very much, okay? We have a unidirectional antenna, but we have a very strong Canadian station at 92.1 FM. So near the border, there's some interference. So if you're driving on the 190, for example, I've noticed that you drive by, it's okay, but you can see the river right there, and there's Canada over there, right? And so you can see that it's not quite as strong sometimes as further in. In fact, it was funny, I heard when it was really bad, they were playing Joe Cocker. The Canadian station's oldies. Joe Cocker, You Are So Beautiful. Remember that song? And I called the guy. He says, you know what? My oldest daughter, that's the song we danced to at her wedding. And I says, I love it, but not now, I told him. I mean, I liked it in its place. I like it, but not here and not now, right? Next. So, again, please keep praying. And if you can, listen as much as you can to 92.1, at least for the next few weeks. And let us know how the station sounds in your area and where you drive and how consistent the sound quality is. And also, when you're thinking about it and when you're listening, note the changing weather patterns and see if they affect the signal in your area or not. Because like I say, right now, my premise is based on the information I've got. You know, Cheektowaga, Sharon and Gary weren't affected when the worst day I've ever heard of the station. So that kind of tells me that they're in that area, that sweet area there, you know. And we're out here, again, we're Alma, East Aurora area. It's more broken. So if you can note the changing weather patterns, even time of day, if you can note that next. And, hey, you know, Christian radio is so important. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts and your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. And I believe that. That's what the Bible says. And the word of God is what saves souls, right? And that's what the radio is the word of God. Not a whole lot of visual with radio, right? It's all sound, but it's the word of God. And then closing here, but, you know, way back when, I really felt that the Lord gave me Psalm 107, 35 to 38 for our church way back in the beginning. And it says, he turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. Again, there's a lot of good churches that love Jesus, but the word of God, the word of God, the word of God, the water, being washed in the water of the Word of God, right? The full Bible, everything. And I felt that's what he's called the Calvary Chapels to. That's what he's called us to. And it says, there he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards. And so, you know, city is relative. I mean, we've grown, you know, we're not a big church, but God's kept us going for 21 years. And, you know, the sowing the field and planting the vineyards, I feel like that's one of the things God has already had for us and always had for us, was the radio station. It's just something that's happened over the years, but he gave it to us. We never really sought for it. And, you know, so that will happen. A mighty harvest will be yielded. And it says he blesses them. They multiply greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease, which means he covers. He pays. He helps, right? He takes care. And then more recently, I feel like he gave me Psalm 43:19 specifically for the radio. And he says, kind of relates back to the Psalm 107, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I just felt he was, for me at least, he's joining that with what he gave me about the church 20 years ago. And really, this is an opportunity, like I say, for the word of God to go forth. I mean, who's heard the word? Who's heard the radio? And it's different. I mean, the music may not be, every song might not be your style, but the goal is you're trying to reach souls. And those evangelism minutes, who's heard those things? Those things are awesome, aren't they? And they're on like about every 10 minutes or so. It's incredible. And then the solid teachings are on during the drive time. So you got the whole thing, right? So I'm very encouraged by it. I'm very excited about it. But we have to now understand what normal's going to be. And, you know, so we have to learn. God has given us Dove FM. Let's see what he wants to do with it, right? So kind of makes sense what I'm talking about? I think that's it, right? Okay. But we're going to show something else in a minute here. Let's go to Matthew 5. So, you know, I'm encouraged. I don't like when, I guess it was Friday when the signal sounded terrible where we were. But like I say, we have to understand what the expectations are, and then we'll have to communicate that. So certain areas will always, no problem probably, it looks like.
And there'll be days when it'll go to the farm.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I heard it, and Pastor Gary was driving, I guess this week, I was driving a couple weeks ago down the thruway, almost to Batavia. It was coming in really good, okay? So that's the thing. When you don't have this thing going on, which we're going to see how frequent it is. It's supposed to be pretty rare that it happens, but it's very listenable all the way past the Pembroke exit. I was about a couple miles out of Batavia before it wasn't really good anymore. Even when, you know, the Friday, before it really went bad, in the morning I was out there checking something, and I actually drove up to Grand Island because I noticed it was a little bit different. All the way up to Grand Island, up to Fantasy Island there, it was pretty good. So that's what I'm saying. It's got a big area, and it's going further than they thought it was going to go. But the point's going to be now with this atmospheric thing, that's going to be variable. Okay, what's here is going to be solid. What's here is going to be variable. So we've got to learn what that is. Make sense? Okay, Matthew 5. And actually, we're going to show something in a minute here. This is going to be a little bit different than often. I mean, I'm going to be going to a lot of different scriptures. That's not different, but maybe more so than usual. And actually, we're going to start in Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. And there's a video right off the bat after I reread this, because to me it was so good. And last time we were in Matthew a few weeks ago, we had the special speaker last week, but, you know, Jesus was saying, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and give light. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, I was thinking about that, and, you know, sometimes they talk about what ifs, right? What if this? What if that? And again, this is not a political sermon. It's just reality, okay? And I'm just wondering to myself, what if the last presidential election would have gone the other way? There'd be two Supreme Court justices and maybe more. Who knows, right? Would the U.S. Embassy be in Jerusalem today? I don't think so. What would have happened to Jack Phillips? I don't know. What about this Barron L. Stussman? What would have happened, right? And I start thinking about this, and that's one of the debates within the church. And you guys hear me too often probably talk about Nazi Germany, and I'm not comparing America with Nazi Germany. but the mindset I am, in a sense, where we don't want to know. I don't want to know, you know. And yet, it says here, I'm supposed to be the light and the salt. Now, that doesn't mean we're clones and we're programmed and we're part of a cult. That doesn't mean that at all. But what it means to me is that, hey, God put us here now for a reason, right? Just like he gave us the radio station now for a reason. And what he gave us is what he gave us, and we can use it for his glory. And that word of God can touch so many lives, you know. And our lives, as we touch others, can touch so many lives. And it gets hard because, again, we're human, starting with me. Now, what I want to do real quick, this is an old song from 1978, okay? So here's one of the good things about the radio station. You get some of this really new stuff. Who's heard the rap? Who likes it? So, yeah, it's awesome, right? Okay. That's what I'm doing when I hear it. It's like, oh, okay. Then you hear these oldies, right? And here's an oldie from 1978. It's Keith Green. It's live, okay? And it's Asleep in the Light. Anybody remember that song before we play it? And it's cool, okay? It's old. I don't know. It comes from the heart. And I think that's part of God help us as Christians. Let it keep coming from the heart, right? That's something we all struggle with. Start with me is that, hey, how long have you been a Christian for? How many decades you've been a Christian for, some of us, right? And how passionate am I for Jesus today? And how much of it is just whatever? All I care about is me and my retirement and blah, 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 right? What do I care about who's in the Supreme Court? Does it affect me? Well, maybe not you. It affects your kids, your grandkids. I got five little grandkids that are under five, right? I mean, it's going to affect them. And as long as I'm here, God, I want to be that light. And again, not that I'm going to join a party, although, you know, whatever. God caused some people to be in the realm of politics. Good. Be a strong Christian. Get in there and be Jesus. Be a disciple of Jesus, right? Be a Daniel. However he's built us, and we're not all built the same, but I don't want to just check out. That's not what Matthew 5 means. And when we begin to check out, there's repercussions in the culture, even in the church. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But so if you don't mind, for about 3 minutes or 4 minutes, you're going to watch Keith Green, and I'm not sure when it was. He wrote it in 1978, but it's such a powerful song. So can we just watch it, please? Okay.
Sinking down. Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin? Cause he brings people to your door and you turn them away as you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace, and all heaven just weeps. Cause Jesus came to your door, you've left him out on the streets. Open up and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling. me and you're the one. But like Jonah, you run. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, can't you see inside sin? The world is sleeping in the dark that the church just can't fight, 'cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. La da, la da, la da, la da, la da, la da, la da. How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Job's done. Don't close your eyes. Don't pretend the job's done. Come away, come away, come away with me, my love. Come away from this mess. Come away with me, my love. Are you gonna let them
screen up now. See? Did you like his hair? See? Those are my formative years. That's why. You know, so it can be offensive, I guess, but God, let my heart be open to it, right? Whatever. Again, I've learned a long time ago that I've got to deal with me in the Lord, and you got to deal with you in the Lord, you know? And we're not here to judge one another, but we're here to, you know, God, let us shine his lights. Bring it back here. I mean, he was so honest, that guy, you know, really beautiful. So you be the light of the world, that says, okay, so it's a question for me to ask the Lord, am I being the light the way you want me to be? Not what about him or her? Am I being the light that you want me to be? Am I being the salt you want me to be? You know? And then the other thing too is, so verse 16, you know, and we kind of ended here a couple weeks ago, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That was like the part two thing of this whole thing, was that we had mentioned last time that, and again, I'm just telling you what the truth. I'm not, you know, trying to embarrass anybody, but they had this big thing about the United Methodist Church. I don't know about all of them, but, okay, changing their creed and taking the gender out of God. So you might remember that, okay? And, you know, we're not going to call God Father anymore because it's wrong and it sends a wrong signal. And it made me think of it when I was reading verse 16, because Jesus calls God his Father. And I haven't checked in, haven't actually counted myself personally, but, you know, how often in the Bible is God referred to as Father? How often is Jesus referred to as Son? Even the Holy Spirit, you know, is referred to in the male sense. John 15:26, one example. Jesus said, when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And so the problem is basically, and I struggle with it, okay? If I don't believe what the Bible says about God the Father and God the Son and even God the Holy Spirit, right? Well, then if somebody asked me, do you believe John 14:6? There's one way to heaven, the door. Jesus is the door, John 3:16. If I don't believe that part, why should I believe this part? I think that's one of Satan's greatest tools is, number one, we're not reading the Bible. Now we are, but I'm just saying, okay, you don't read the Bible, okay, number one. And then number two, well, it doesn't really mean that. Okay, then what means anything? What means anything, right? And again, I'm as challenged as anybody else. I'm just saying the Christian faith is the Word of God. If it's not, then you're not a Christian. Forgive me, right? But it's true, right? There's a lot of Jesuses, definitions of Jesus. There's one Jesus, but there's a lot of definitions of who Jesus is, what he is. And so my struggle is that, okay, I don't believe what it says, you know, God's not really the Father. Well, then Jesus isn't really the door either. And what happens to me is because of my fallen nature, I'm going to start picking and choosing. Why is the sanctity of marriage important? Why does Pastor Mark care about stuff like that? Because it reflects back to God. That's why. And it affects lives. And it affects young people and old alike, kids. And the culture we live in affects the way we think. And yeah, I don't care what culture you live in, Jesus is going to wake us up and save us. And if we yield to him, and we're going to understand him in a much newer, clearer way. But it just seems to me the work of Satan to bring us to a point where, well, the Bible doesn't mean what it says. And it's wrong about marriage. And it's wrong about life, the sanctity of life. It's above my pay grade. Don't ask me about it. The Bible doesn't mean what it says, you know. And what's going to happen to me, I'm going to start picking and choosing what I believe. And even as a Christian, I struggle with that already, right? And I do believe God. I do love God. And I do read the Bible. And I read it all the time. And I still struggle with, I don't want it to mean that, you know. And we have to fight with ourselves sometimes. But Matthew 7, if you go to Matthew 7, okay. And like I said, we're going to jump a little bit so you can just listen if you want to. But Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus, again, he says this. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but what? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, why did Jack Phillips get himself into trouble? And why did he lose 40% of his business? Well, because to the best of his knowledge, he was trying to obey his God, right? Why is Baroness Stutzman in trouble? Because she's trying to obey God. That's why I'm saying, how can you be a Christian and go to work every day? You know, it's funny, I tell you guys, different colleges I've worked at over the years and, you know, on the side. And I was at Bryan and Stratton for some years, and the secretary there, actually, her mom was in Germany during that time, during the 30s and 40s. And what this secretary told me is that her mom told her is that in those years, if somebody stopped showing up for work, you wouldn't say too much. You just kind of watch. Well, maybe they're sick. But after about a week or so, a couple weeks, you don't ask any questions. You don't want to be the next one, you know what I'm saying? You just didn't ask any questions. You just kind of go about your life and kind of just don't look and don't listen to certain things, you know? And when the trains go by and there's a bunch of people in there and they're being taken away, you know? And to me, that's the opposite of the light. So again, that doesn't mean we're a bunch of clones and a bunch of robots and a bunch of cult people. What it means is that we're a bunch of individuals that love Jesus, that are in a body of Christ, that are working together under him to shine the light, right? And to be salt. Isn't that what it means? That's what it means, okay? And here, hey, again, verse 21, Jesus says, it's not just saying, Lord, Lord. It's he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? I'll declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me. You who practice lawlessness. It gets back to what we're doing. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, it gets back to doing. I'll liken them to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And it talks about doing. And then you start thinking about it, well, okay, What do I do? Don't I do what I believe? And if I believe something and I'm struggling with it because I'm afraid, ultimately, what do I choose? Do I choose what I trust more? Or do I, you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, hey, God, you're not big enough. You're not strong enough. I can't. I can't stand up to the culture. I can't because it's bigger than you. Then why go to church? Why worship Jesus? Worship the government. Or worship some leader, some person, right? If that's the way it is, why even bother going to church, right? And that's, I think it's kind of, that song, Asleep in the Light, and I think it's kind of what he's saying about being lights. We struggle. I struggle with it. God, help me, right? It's not easy. It's not easy, but, you know, verse 23 again, right? Matthew 7:23. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, what defines lawlessness? And again, is it the Bible? Is it the culture? Is it me? If it's a culture, which culture? Is it Nazi Germany? Is it the Gaza Strip today? Is it North Korea? Is it Hollywood? Is it American culture? Is it even the church? I mean, I hate to say it, but I didn't check at length, but there's a lot of different flavors of church out there, right? And according to the internet, there's supposed to be 33,000 different denominations, okay? If you can imagine that. And so, you know, we have a problem, don't we? I mean, the church itself has a problem. And go over to 1 Corinthians 11, if you would, please, okay? Thinking about this gender thing, and so I'm going to talk for a few minutes from what I understand in the Bible. And really, it's going to be gender, but it's really serving God, okay? And you got to take the whole Bible. Paul wrote in Galatians 3:28, there's no Jew or Greek, there's no slave or free, there's no male or female. I mean, of course, there is differences, but he says we're all one in Christ. And so can we be different and still be equal? I think we can, right? Differences, does differences make one better than the other just because they're different? I don't think so. I mean, and I think that's kind of the point is that, you know what, God has created us. He's created as he did. He's got a thought in mind. He's got a heart in mind. He's got a premise in mind. And I guess I can ask God, please help me to yield to you and yield to your will and to obey you. Or what's my option? Redefine the Bible and paint Jesus whoever I like him to be and paint the church whatever I like him the church to be. And it doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, when you really think about it, we have a responsibility. If you're a born-again Christian, you got to tell us about Jesus. Not the made-up Jesus, the real Jesus, right? And again, we have little differences. I mean, we do. I tell people, I argue with myself once in a while. I mean, we're human, okay? God's infinite, I'm not. But having said that, still, when we're born again, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And if you're born again, you've got that Spirit of truth living inside of you. And if you got born again, I always tell you, I was 24, okay? For me, it was like a paradigm shift. Not that I've arrived. It's been 30-some years. I'm still struggling, okay? But a paradigm shift because the truth lit up inside of me. And before, what defined right and wrong for me was my culture, okay? Now, what defines right and wrong is Jesus and his word. And again, sometimes there's differences. Fine, okay? Major in the majors, minor in the minors. Someday in heaven, we'll all be the same denomination, right? We'll all be Christian and be Pastor Jesus. And like I always say, well, he'll be teaching us. And someone has a question, he'll answer it. And if someone else has a question, he'll answer that, right? And that's the way it's going to be. But so we struggle with that stuff. So getting back now to God, is he the Father? Is it wrong to call God Father? Is it helpful to others when we proclaim that God is not Father? It's gender neutral. God is not, you know, is that helpful? And I guess my point's going to be is that, you know, like everything else, you take from the Bible everything you can on the topic, and then bottom line, God, show me. And just understand that you are light and salt, Mark, right? And people are watching and they're listening and they're perceiving and they're, you know, we don't even know how we affect other people. We really don't fully. So when you start talking about this genderization now, if that's a word, okay, and, you know, 1 Corinthians 11:3, first place there is page 1126, but it basically says, Paul says, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, the head of Christ is God. Now, that's a principle you see throughout the Bible, okay? And you drop down to verse 7, a man indeed ought not to cover his head, and he gets into, we're not going to talk too much about that today. He's the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man, for man is not from woman, woman from man, nor was man created for woman, but woman for man. So, again, this principle, right? Ephesians 5, we're not going to go there. Remember, it talks about marriage. Husbands, love your wives, and, you know, wives, submit to your husbands. And you go there, and it's Jesus says, I'm talking about the church. I mean, there's implications, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Go to Exodus 14, please, page 66, okay? Check this out for a minute. So I guess my point's going to be that for us, we don't have to understand everything, and we're not going to understand everything. You can't. God is infinite, and you're not, okay? But I think we've been entrusted for his to portray a clear picture of who he is to a world that doesn't want to believe who he is, in a world that wants to basically cast doubt on Jesus because it's all gets back to a big spiritual war. And it really does. Everything gets back to a spiritual war. Salvation or not saved. And it all gets back to that. Everything else is just details. Because eternity is what we're supposed to live for. That's what's important. I mean, this life we live now is, yeah, live it, enjoy it, be used by God, but understand that 70, 80, 90 years, whatever, eternity never ends, you know? I mean, we were at men's group yesterday, and somebody mentioned that it's already, what, July 1st today, right? We're already halfway through 2018. Can you imagine that? Actually, the other day I was struggling. Is it still 27? I was writing the check. Is it still 2017? I couldn't remember, you know? I mean, that's how fast time goes by, isn't it? That's why I like on the radio station there, Ray Comfort, those evangelical ministers, like a little clock ticking, right? He says, another minute's gone, and whatever he says there, but it really drives it home. You know what? Every minute is it's over with and it's gone forever, right? And, you know, Exodus 14, it's interesting because, okay, I only obey if I understand. Otherwise, I won't obey. Well, it's foolish, obviously. And you go to Exodus 14, first of all, and, oh, where is it here? Is it 14? Let's see. I think it's 12, actually. Go to 12, would you? The Passover. Where's it? Yeah, it's 12. And again, some of you guys, you're aware of this, okay? Way back, 1400 and something BC. And Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families. Kill the Passover lamb, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in it, the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of this house till morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house. Okay, back in the old times, right? And the people were just leaving Egypt, and they're told, or they're trying to leave Egypt. After this happens, Pharaoh will say, please leave, but put blood on your door, on the lintels and on the doorposts. Some of you guys know this, okay? But it's a cross, okay? Over the door, the top went out beyond the sides. And so you're doing a cross. Now, they couldn't understand that back in 1400 BC, right? But they're doing a cross, and it's pointing to Christ. And so if they didn't understand it, well, in this case, if they didn't do it, they would have died, but they all did it, right? The Egyptians didn't do it and they died. But again, think about it. If someone doesn't receive the Jesus of the Bible, where are they going to? What's going to happen to them spiritually? Are they going to live in heaven forever? No, they're going to go to hell. And they're going to die spiritually. They're going to be in existence forever in hell. And so we need to tell them the truth, don't we? He's given us the truth. We need to let them know the truth, right? Now, the other thing is you go over to Exodus 29:27. And again, it's just interesting stuff, okay, as you read through the Old Testament. Some of you guys, you know, you hear this stuff. We're going through Leviticus on Wednesday night, so you hear this stuff on Wednesday night. But just another little snapshot real quick here. Exodus 29, verse 27. And here's Moses and giving these guys the law, right? The priests, the Israelis. And he says in Exodus 29:27, from the ram of the consecration you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised, of that which is for Aaron and for his sons. And, you know, it talks about these different laws, okay, spiritual laws. And now, some of you have heard this before, okay, but basically, okay, I'm telling you guys, I want you to do it this way, okay? You've got this offering. I want you to consecrate means to be holy and be separate, okay? I want you to be holy and separate. But when you're doing this offering, the breast offering is waved and the heave offering, okay? And so here's these priests, and the wave offering is horizontal, which is this way, right? Horizontal this way, and vertical is this way, right? Okay, so wave is this way, heave is this way. Thank you. And the thing is, so they're doing this thing, okay? Okay? And it's a cross. It's a cross. Okay? I'm sorry. Somebody didn't like that. It's a cross, okay? It is. I'm telling you, it is. Okay? I don't care how much you cry, it is. And here's the point, okay? So why did God care? I mean, what if they says, I don't care, I don't want to do it that way? I'll do it. I watched Princess Diana, I'll do it this way. You know, I'll wave or something, right? No. God has a reason. Even if we don't get it, he's got a reason, okay? And so even in the Old Testament, there's these priests, they don't even know what they're doing, okay? Now, if you look at Exodus 29, real quick, or 39 rather, on the way back. And, you know, God told Moses to build the tabernacle a certain way, and he did. And again, that's a whole other study. How does Moses' tabernacle relate to the New Testament church? How does it relate to eternity in heaven? It's a whole study, but it does. And they couldn't understand. All they knew is that God was speaking to them, and the choice was obey or don't. And the cool thing about Moses at that time and these people that were building this thing, look at Exodus 39:32. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. Look, the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. It doesn't matter whether they understood everything or not. The point is that they heard clearly and they did it, right? And then you keep going. I mean, look at verse 42. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. So they did it. Chapter 40, verse 16, look at the last part. Verse 16, the entire verse. Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Look at verse 19, the last part, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 21, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 23, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 25, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 27, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 29, as the Lord commanded Moses. I mean, how many times do they have to say it, right? Verse 32, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 33, and he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. Moses finished the work. And then what happened? He did it the way God says. What happened? The cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, right? I mean, we're a tabernacle. We're a tent. This body is a tent, Paul says, right? And the Lord, Holy Spirit, when we get born again, he takes up residence inside of us, right? And again, God, I want to be filled with that glory. I want to be filled with you. And yeah, technically I am. Once I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm not going to lose it, but I want to walk with you. I want to be close to you. I want to know you, right? And how can I walk closely with him if I'm not doing what he says? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying we could be a Christian and not do what he says and not lose our salvation. I'm saying that, but I'm also saying, how can I be close with God if I'm doing, it's like the song, right? Keith Green says, there's a knock at the door. Jesus was there, right? Is that what we're called to? Is that shining my life for Jesus? Is that being salt for Jesus? You know? How can I walk closely with him if I'm not obeying him? And let's go back. Moses obeyed. Go back. Go actually to Matthew 7, would you please? obeying God's word is more important than fully understanding his word. Okay, because there's going to be times when I do understand, there's going to be times when I don't understand. And that's why it's really important for me, because I'm not infinite like God is, and I'm never going to be equal to him as long as in a zillion years in eternity I'm not going to be. It's important for me to trust his character and understand his attributes, because then if I know him and his attributes and his character, then when I'm asked to trust him, I can do it because I can rely on who he is, right? You guys, you already know this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. That word for acknowledge him means know him. It's cool. In all your ways, know him. It's the old Hebrew word, yada, yada. I think Seinfeld used to say that on the TV show, yada, yada. Know him. And you know what? It's what the scripture says. Just lean not on your own understanding, but on him. In all your ways, know him, and he'll direct your paths. And you go back to Matthew 7 and start talking about the character of God and who God is. And again, it's not easy, okay? The government says, hey, you do this, you're going to lose your job. You do this, we're going to throw you in jail. We're going to strip away your savings. Baron L. Stutzman, I think she's in her 70s. We're going to take away your business, Jack Phillips. You just leave your religion in your house. Yeah, but how can I? If I'm Jesus, how can I not live it? Right? And again, we're fortunate. We live in a culture, and I pray it stays this way, and I think we're very close. Either way, I think we're very close. That's why we can't fall asleep at the wheel right now as Christians. We're here for a reason, okay? We're fortunate enough we still live in a society and a culture where we can do what God shows us to do, and hopefully you're not going to be thrown out of your house for that or brought before a firing squad. There's places in the world where you would be, okay? And we're not quite there yet, But again, the evil one wants to destroy America, just like he wants to destroy any Christian and every Christian. In America, for all of our problems, we're still seen as a Christian nation by many. And whatever the enemy can do to cause us to fall, hey, he was so thrilled when God had to judge Israel because they disobeyed him. And they had their beautiful temple, and they had Solomon's temple, and they were all, you know, and the Assyrians and the Babylonians were a lot worse than they were culturally. But it finally reached a point, God says, you know, for me not to judge you would be to misrepresent me before the world. And I called you, Israel, you're supposed to be a picture of my hand upon a nation that loves me and obeys me. And when the world sees what you're doing, and they see this hand of blessing, it doesn't compute anymore. It's a totally different God. And I got to take it off. And again, I'm not a historian. I'm not a prophet. I'm just saying I know from what the Bible says is that it's going to happen to America eventually. When, I don't know. And I don't want it to happen during my watch. I just don't, okay? And like I say, do you agree that if we had a different president than the current one, we'd be in a much, much different place today? Do you at least agree with that? Okay? That's how close we are. Well, I mean, it's God using somebody, right? And others that have come around him. But the thing is, it's made a difference. And we're at that point. We're so close. So God, I've got to live my faith in a real way, in every way that I'm able to. Okay? Back here, look at Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11. Look, Jesus said, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. Look, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. Him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? It's part of knowing his character again. So, you know, it's like if Sienna asks us for a fifth and sixth cookie, and we say, no, maybe she thinks we're mean, but we're doing it for her good, right? And God's the same way. It's like, hey, let's walk with him. Let's make our requests known to him. But at the same time, just understanding that, you know what, he's God. And if he's going to do something that I don't understand, you know what, it doesn't mean he doesn't love me. It doesn't mean that he's not God. It just means that just kind of keep watching, kind of keep moving forward, stay in the path and see what happens, and God will use it. And he does, and he will. We were at the Woodlawn Beach yesterday. We ended up going, we tried to go Friday, as I mentioned. We never got there. We went Saturday, and actually Sienna and Noah and Amy met us there. Gary was working in the house there. But it was kind of cool because, so, you know, we call it going deeper, deeper. I mean, Sienna's going to be three, and I guess next month, right? And so I like to take her out in the water and all that. And so she wants to go deeper, deeper. So we go out, and there was really cool waves yesterday. And so I'm holding her and, you know, kind of pulling her back. And, you know, at a point we got out a little bit too far and she got a little bit scared. So I had to pull her back in, you know. But I just, that trust there. I mean, there's just something beautiful about that trust that a little grandkid has for their grandfather, you know. Then Noah, of course, he's really little. And I brought him in. I put his feet in the water. He started crying right away. So I, okay, you're not ready yet. A couple of months you'll be ready, whatever. But God is good. And he wants us to trust him. You know, another story from yesterday, and I'm going to talk about Shorty for a minute, okay? So the story you told, Shorty, so I'll tell the story, right? Two things. Number one, I guess they got a new dog, what day was it, Friday?
Thursday,
and their old dog died Thursday. So the new dog comes in, and within a few hours, the old dog dies. And, of course, the family's upset. The kids are upset. But, hey, God answered it, in a sense, before he did what he did or allowed what he allowed. But, you know, that's God, right? Then the other thing was last week, Magenta's fifth birthday, and her, his brother was going to get a bounce house for the party, huh?
It was raining,
so he didn't do it because it was raining, but then he ended up buying a pool instead, right? But, you know, for, you know, not a huge pool, but a nice pool. And I was saying, you know what? A bounce house is good for, what, a day or two? A pool's good for some years, right? So, again, it's kind of like if he had bought the bounce house, he wouldn't have bought the pool, at least in the same week, right? So it's kind of like, you see, God is good. He really is good, isn't he? Even though we don't understand it. And kind of get back to this. You know, so God is good. And again, as a Christian, if I don't have God's word, then what do I have? If I'm picking and choosing what I believe, what do I have? I have nothing. If I don't have God's word, I've got the tools of men. And ultimately, what wins, do you think? The word of God or tools of men? Obviously, I believe the tools of men lose. The word of God wins, right? Real quick here, 5 more minutes, we'll be done. But 1 Timothy 3 real quick, okay? We're starting to run out of time here. So here's where I'm kind of going. It's just one issue in the church today, and it's... gets back to trusting God. You know, 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So just by reading that, what does it kind of tell you about the bishop or the overseer? Man, husband of one wife. Drop down to verse 8, likewise deacons, 11, their wives must be, what does that tell you about deacons, right? Go over to Titus 1:6 real quick, please, or just listen. If a man is blameless, husband of one wife, again, talking about the bishop, okay? So, again, it's a different thing other than, I think back to the genderization, and so here's this church saying that God's not really the father. Call him whatever you want, okay? Now, here's more mainstream, but that doesn't mean what it really says. Open up your mind, expand. It doesn't mean what it says. But to me, how do I defend other things if I don't, you know, does that make sense to what I'm trying to say? Aren't I picking and choosing? Aren't I? It's a whole study. Let's go real quick. Go to Acts 18. We'll close here today. We'll pick it up next time. Take the entire word of God, okay? Now, here's a Bible quiz. When Jesus rose from the dead, who's the first person he appeared to? A man or a woman? A woman, okay? Galatians 3 again, there's no male or female. I mean, just because God has a different calling doesn't mean it's greater or lesser, okay? And just like Moses did what God did, told them to do, even though they didn't understand it fully. Just like the priests were doing the cross, they didn't even know what they were doing, but they were doing it because God told them to. What's wrong with doing what God says, despite what the culture says? What's wrong with that? And doesn't it make sense to do that? To me, it does. Now, for me, again, God's in control, not me. And, you know, this church will go as long as he wants it to go, and the station will go for as long as he wants it to go. And I trust him for that. I really do, okay? But for me, it's like, what are we called to do, you know, as believers, as Christians? What are we called to do? And if you don't have God's word, what do you have? And once you start picking and choosing, what do you have? And Satan loves it. Then he jumps right in the middle of it. Oh, another church split. Yeah, got him. Now instead of 33,000 denominations, there's 33,001 now. Yeah. Let's go for 40,000. Let's go for 50,000. Let's let the world laugh at the church. It's sad, you know. There is one God, right? Again, there's different flavors of people, and I believe God has allowed different churches because we're different. Worship's different in some church. Hey, praise the Lord. Find a place where God is alleged to be and make it a better place, right? The styles are different, but like I say, we got to major in the majors, you know. Is the word of God being taught? Is the full word being taught? What's more important, the word of God or the council someplace? The word of God or what somebody decided 300 years ago at some meeting? What's more important, right? Right? See, we're too fortunate as Americans. I'll sleep longer, right? But God, don't let me sleep longer. I don't want to, right? I want to be awake. Look at Acts 18:1 here today, and we'll maybe talk more about this in the future. But, you know, here's this husband and wife team of one here. You know, like I say, as far as I understand, God help me, if I say this part doesn't mean what it says, I can't say that part does mean what it says. I teach math on the side. You guys know, if here's your textbook, students, it's 85% correct. Well, thanks a lot, professor, right? What do we believe? I don't know. Well, you end up believing what you want to believe then. And now you're right in the middle of Satan's camp. Right in the middle of Satan's camp, right? Instead of God, transform me and speak to me, and I'm a little kid. Tell me. I'm not going to tell you. You tell me. With that heart, that attitude, that's a good attitude, isn't it? Doesn't mean we're all going to be on the same page all the time. But again, if you got a bunch of people with that type of an attitude, that's the church I want to be a part of, you know? And to me, that's the church that's closest to Jesus' own heart. So we're not trying to tell him. He's, Jesus, tell me. Tell us. Tell us, right? This husband and wife team, Acts 18, 1 through 3, real quick here. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, so persecution broke out against the Jews at that time. And he came to them. It's because he was of the same trade, Paul was a tent maker. He stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. So it sounds to me they're all in it together. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like Priscilla and Aquila are working together, and Paul becomes part of that team, right? But even more clear than that, drop down to verse 24, because now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So here's this guy that only really knows through the baptism of John. He doesn't really have the full picture. So what happened in verse 26? He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And what happened? When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, what does it say? Aquila took him aside and, no, it says they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Okay, what does that tell me? It tells me that they did it, okay? Did Aquila have wisdom? Yeah, she had wisdom. Did she have knowledge? Of course she had knowledge. Did Apollos listen to her? I'm sure he probably did because he got on track, right? But it's done in order. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? And so to me, it's like, man, give me the whole Bible and help me to understand it, and the parts I'm not clear on, teach me. But if this isn't for today, then why is this, right? Why is Mark pro-life? What does the Bible say about that? Why is Mark for marriage the way it's defined in the Bible? Because that's what the Bible says. That's why. Who am I to change that, right? Okay, let's close in prayer for today. So Lord, help us, Lord God. Everything is not a slam dunk in our theology. Good people sometimes can have different conclusions. There are different denominations, and it's not your fault, it's our fault. But having said that, you know, I'm sure there's, anytime we look at others, we can find and we can learn from others, Lord God. And so just help us, Lord God. We know in eternity there will be just one denomination Christian, just one King and Lord and Pastor Jesus Christ. So we're thankful for that. For now, help us to do our best. But just help us, Lord God, to shine for you, to be salt. If we're going to be in error, let it be in at least an honest error. And let us also be open enough to hear your truth and to grow by it and to not get fixated into our own predetermined walls and to misrepresent you, Lord God. Because the world today needs to see you, not a misrepresented picture of you, Lord God. The world claims to be more moral than the Bible. The world claims to treat women better than the Bible does. There's a lot of claims the world makes, and Lord, it's not true, but if we don't give them your truth, then we're not giving them the full picture, Lord God. So please help us to understand you better every day, to walk with you, to know you, and to allow your Holy Spirit to flow through us unhindered, Lord God, that we might touch this world with your truth, that many souls would be saved, that many souls would come into your kingdom, Lord God. We pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up for the final song, please.